Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Investments. Complicated? Not when you talk to a financial broker about a Zurich investment plan.
And in her column this week, Olivia O'Leary remembers a realist.
It was my colleague, the late Jim Dougal, who put the question to John Hume as he was walking into No. 10 Downing Street for talks in the months before the IRA ceasefire in 1994. By talking to Gerry Adams and by trying to bring Sinn Féin into the political fold, was Hume not going to damage his own party, the SDLP? Unusually for him, Hume snapped. "I don't give two balls of roasted snow, Jim, as long as it brings peace on this island." Now it was official. Hume knew that his party, the SDLP, the non-violent party he had co-founded and led for two decades, would be eviscerated by a post-truce Sinn Féin. Take away the weapons and you'd taken away the main reason people didn't vote Sinn Féin. After all, that was the very argument that he'd been putting to Gerry Adams in their talks, that the break with violence would pay Sinn Féin political dividends. Of course he knew what this meant for the SDLP. He was a strategist, a realist. He always saw the bigger picture. He would have put the aim of stopping the violence before the fate of any political party, even in this case his own. There'll always be those who say he was wrong, but the relative peace in Northern Ireland for the best part of two decades speaks loudest. Because John Hume saw himself not only as the leader of one constitutional nationalist party, but as a leader of constitutional Irish nationalism. That's why his relationship with Fianna Fáil Taoiseach was sometimes tetchy. Fine Gael Taoiseach, like Liam Cosgrave, and more particularly Garrett Fitzgerald, deferred to Hume and often took their line on the north from him. But Fianna Fáil Taoiseach, like Haughey and Albert Reynolds, behaved as though they should be the voice for Irish nationalism north and south, not Hume. It's clear, however, that anybody who claimed to speak for non-violent nationalism on this island had a job to do, and that was to get the gunmen to give up the guns by bringing them in from the cold. Fianna Fáil felt that strongly. I remember Professor Martin O'Donoghue, a former Fianna Fáil minister, explaining that the reason Fianna Fáil was a bigger party and a greener party than Fine Gael, which it was that they had to reflect the views of those within their ranks who would otherwise have gone over to Sinn Féin and the gunmen. But that gave Fianna Fáil a duty to try to bring the militants within the folds of peaceful politics, he said, a role that Fine Gael rejected because he said they sat in their ivory towers and refused to dirty their hands. Hume felt he had that duty too. If constitutional nationalists refused to reach out to the gunmen and persuade them to move instead onto a political path, who else would do it? He knew that he could be a bridge, and he was. From early on, he always saw things strategically. After Bloody Sunday, and he warned the organisers that the British Army would fire on the marchers, Hume knew that there could not now be an internal settlement. Northern Ireland had to be put on a bigger stage, an international stage involving the EU and, crucially, America. The Unionists, as he saw it, had their champions in London. Ireland needed to connect to champions in Brussels, but crucially in Washington. Only America had the clout to make the British push for historical changes in Northern Ireland, the sort of changes which would persuade the gunmen to pursue a constitutional path. He refused to carry a gun, even when the RUC warned him his life was in danger from gunmen on both sides. Doing a documentary on Daniel O'Connell last year, I was astonished how many times the parallels with John Hume arose on non-violence and civil rights. As O'Connell was the outstanding Irish statesman of the 19th century, so Hume was of the 20th. I've known him for almost 50 years, a determined, hopeful man. One of the few times I ever heard real sadness in his voice was when he told me about the time Martin McGuinness's mother came to him in the early 70s and asked him to speak to her son, who she felt was getting involved in violence. So Hume asked young Martin up to his house and spoke to him. All the time, Martin looked determinedly out the window and said nothing. When Hume finished, Martin just said, "Can I go now?" and left. I think John Hume spent the rest of his life trying to have that conversation again and get the right outcome. And he did. We often say this when people die, but this time I know I really mean it. Er yesh se gareva anam delish.
Olivia O'Leary there. I'm